and welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Bookshelves, where once a month we talk about all things related to Scott County Public Library, such as our services, programs, and more. Along with that, at the end of this episode, we'll have a new segment where we will answer questions from our library community, which I'm pretty excited to get to. But before we do that, I'm your host, Mackenzie, and I'm with my co-host, Min Young. Say hi, Min Young.
Hello there.
And for our last episode, I said we were going to talk about summer programs, but we are going to shift some gears to instead talk about our very, very special guest with us today. Her name is Patty Burnside, and she is our executive director here at Scott County Public Library. But after being a part of the library community for 31 years, she is now sadly retiring and will be stepping aside at the end of June. And we are so excited to have you on here for the first time.
For the first time, yes.
So are you excited for the podcast?
Hmm? Oh, yeah, you know I'm really excited about it. Yes. No, this would be a nice, unique experience for me.
Yeah. It's a nice little send-off, you know.
Like, it is.
It's our present to you.
Thank you so much.
I'm certain that, Patty, it's getting real.
It is.
It's hitting.
It is.
I know it is.
It's getting a little too real, actually.
But I think this is a wonderful way to listen to what you have to say.
Yeah.
And share your experience of being in this institution for 31 years. I think you have a lot to share, and I think people will be interested to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions for you, and I'm sure we'll have banter in between. So I guess I'll just start with the first one, and I think maybe this is something everyone at a library gets asked at least once, like, but what first sparked your love for libraries, and how has your passion grown over the years?
I think you're right. I think that many people who work in libraries will have a similar answer. Most of us are naturally curious about things, the world around us, and learning new things. But almost everybody who works in a library loves to read. And so I'm no exception. I do love to read. And that happened for me at an early age when I was a young girl. I loved Nancy Drew mysteries. And I still like mysteries to this day. So that was my, you know, one thing that kind of drove me to think libraries might be just the right place for me. Also, I have a heart for public service, and I think libraries are definitely a public service agency. So that's what really drove me to libraries as a career, not just a job.
I guess a lot of us can say that, you know, books, we love books.
Yes.
That's a big part of it. But yeah, I think some people don't think about how we really want to connect with the community, and that can be such a huge part. And it's very fulfilling when you get here and realize, like, you know, you have an idea of it, but you don't really realize how connected you are going to be with the community until interacting with them.
In a lot of different ways.
Yeah, so many different ways. More ways than you might expect and not expect at all.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
31 years creates a lot of memories. I can imagine what that's like. But if you had to pick some moments that made you smile, what are those moments?
That's really hard because I have so many. And most of them are positive memories. There's not very many negative ones. But one stands out because when I first started working here, I did a lot of work with children in the youth services department. And I was a person that went to daycare centers and did story times at daycare centers and preschools. So one day we were fairly new to Georgetown and we were visiting a church. And so we went in and we sat in the back, and this little preschooler, church had just begun. The organ was playing and the church had just begun. And this little preschooler who was four or five rows in front of us stood up and went, "Mrs. Sideburns, that's the library lady." And so it was, you know, it was a quiet atmosphere, but so I'll always remember that because she got the name wrong. It's Burnside, not Sideburns. But it was a little flip-flop. But she recognized me and associated me with the library. And I've seen that through the years where, you know, you'll be in the grocery store and somebody's like, "You work at the library, don't you?" So it's all about connections. And I think probably today I'll make a lot of those connections with, you know, as we talk about library work, because that's what it's all about. But those are the kinds of memories that stand out for me, is that just the little things where you know you've touched somebody's life.
Although that is very funny, like yeah. this quiet, I, just
Mrs. Sidebird,
the library lady. And kids will just say whatever
they
comes
will.
To their mind.
They right? will.
And they don't care time, about what's
at any
around
time,
them.
They will yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. come out with it.
They're like, this, the information in my head is correct. I am 5 years old. I am confident.
And I will let everyone know.
And I will let everyone know in a very quiet place. You know, like, that's another thing. Like, being connected with the community is huge. But how has your connection with the community changed since you started here?
I've been here so many years that it's evolved. At first, I was primarily connected with just daycare centers and preschool teachers. And then that evolved into being more connected with the parents of children who brought their children to the library. And then as your job changes, you make connections in different ways. But for about the past 12 years, I've been really more involved outside the library in the community. So you make connections with other nonprofits, other service agencies, as well as government officials. So, you know, we offer a lot of services to different agencies like the fire department and EMS, and offer rooms for their training and different things. So you make connections with all those people that you work with, and you support their causes as well as your own. So no matter what it is, and I really have enjoyed the last 10 to 12 years where I've been able to get out more and do those sorts of things, because you see what a difference it makes to offer the library in different ways. So that's It's evolved through the years.
It truly has, because I know I've been part of joining you on some of those community mm-hmm. outings, and to see the organizations that we connect with.
Yes.
It is huge.
It's huge, and we appreciate them, but they in turn, they really do appreciate what the library offers.
Yeah. So speaking of connections, our next question is patrons and coworkers. Who have touched you along the way in 31 years of your service?
Well, first, I want to always say connections with the staff are so important, because it's not one person that runs this library. It's truly a teamwork. And so everybody has an important role to fill. We are so fortunate here that all our staff is dedicated. They understand that customer service concept, and they really do go the extra mile to help people. So that's the most important thing, I think, for me personally. But then through the years, I've made so many connections with patrons that I wouldn't have known had I not worked here. So the one that came to mind, I just saw him this afternoon. I happened to be out on the floor helping at the CERC desk, and I saw this gentleman. So this was when, before the library moved here in the year 2000 to our current building, we were located on East Main Street in a very small building that's still there. I need to take you all up there and walk through sometime.
Yeah, I definitely want to see it.
Yeah, let's do that. So anyway, it was a very quaint, small building, and the people who came in and out of that building, you did get to know them really well. And there was one gentleman whose name is Jackie. He drove for UPS. He was a long-haul truck driver. Now, I'm talking about the 90s here, the late 90s. So he would come into the library faithfully when he was in town to check out audiobooks on cassette tape. So we have to remember that it was a cassette tape. And an audiobook might have had 9 cassette tapes in a big case, not even a CD. I mean, this was on cassette.
Oh, I remember having the first Harry Potter book.
Okay,
just,
on cassette.
Oh, on cassettes.
Yeah. So he would come in to check them out, and I got to know him. And he goes, "Now, if you get any Westerns, you put them aside for me," because he loved to listen to Westerns as he drove the truck. So I would call him. It's like, okay, we've got a new batch of Westerns in. Come on in. I'm holding them for you. So it was those kinds of just little connections. So now, of course, he's retired, but I just ran into him today out at the library and have become very well acquainted with him and his wife. And so we've kept up that connection through the years. And there's hundreds like that where you knew people and then you've watched them. You knew young people and now they're parents of children, you know, they have children, and you had them in story time when years and years ago, and now they have their own children. So there's hundreds of people like that. And you might not always know them. Well, especially at my age, you might not remember their name, but you certainly remember their face and the connections that you had with them through the years. But Jackie was a special one.
Patrons may not know, Patty has been part of every station there is in this library. So it's not like she just came and became a director. You started as a
clerk.
Clerk?
Yes.
Yeah, and worked every area of this
library. Every library, yeah. Clerk, and then in the children's department, outreach, adult services, assistant director, and then, yeah.
There's not a part of this building you don't know.
She truly meant that a while ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I want to focus on something that you were kind of touching on a little bit in our last question, is the fact that you know a lot about this library. And it hasn't always been in one spot. It hasn't always looked this way. Like, our current library is so unique in different ways because it has a history to it. But it's a short history, but it's still a history. And I guess I want to ask, like, you know, how has the library itself changed during your career in more ways than one, not just physical? And what changes stand out to you the most?
Like you said, the building itself has changed. The way we deliver patron services has changed. So when I first started working here, nothing was computerized. There was not a single computer in the building. And we still had the date due stamp, and you still pulled the paper card out and you stamped it with the due date on the inside of the book. You could see who else had read the book before you because they had signed their name on it.
So old.
No privacy there. So it was a whole different way of, I think the biggest change, though, is that libraries used to be known just as a repository of books. That was when you said the word library, that's what you thought of. And through the years, of course, that has changed so much and driven by technology for the most part, as the computer age and all the things that led up to truly computers, we've had to change along with that. So now there's no scarcity of information. It's more important to help people analyze the information that they're getting. So reference services have evolved in different ways. And so I think technology has driven a lot of the way that our services have changed through the years. Mm-hmm. And that means that the building had to change along with it. So now instead of so many bookshelves, we also have to have computer stations. We have to have study rooms for quiet study because libraries are not quiet places anymore. We're more community hubs, and we want people to come in and gather and enjoy being here and bring their coffee in and sit and read or connect with others. So we have to offer quiet spaces away from the front doors. So it's a lot of things, both physical and the way the services are provided. Those are the biggest changes that I think so.
And I can attest that before my arrival, there was no marketing department.
No, absolutely not. There was.
We're brand new.
Did a great job of making a little poster and posting it on the door.
Yeah, there was no podcast back
there
then.
There was no podcast. Yeah.
Oh, it's so new, so advanced.
Yeah. But therein lies the change.
Yeah.
That not just our library, but all libraries had to make that adjustment. To make ourselves relevant to our patrons. So I think it says a lot about us being able to shift quickly to make this a community hub. Mm-hmm. So I'm really proud.
Yeah, I think we all should be, and that will continue.
Yeah.
The change has not ended. If a thing, some new big idea will come up, and we'll have to shift right along with it.
And I can guarantee you. It would be AI. You know me. So along with all these changes and all the positive things that you have made happen, none came without challenges. Mm-hmm. So can you, touch a little bit on that? What were some of the biggest challenges that you had to face along the way with all these changes?
The change that, of course, most impacted everyone, I would say, in recent history, of course, was the COVID-19 pandemic. It was an uncertain time for all of us. None of us knew whether we were doing things the right way or if there was a right way. So we just did, we took the best advice we could find and we dealt with it. So that was the biggest change. But then there's all the other changes, like as Mackenzie noted, we've changed buildings. We've had two renovations of the building that opened in 2000. We've added parking lots. We've added new outreach vehicles. We've all those kinds of changes were physical changes that mattered. But the most challenging, I think, was the pandemic. Getting through that, because it was, we wanted to keep everyone employed. We wanted to keep everyone safe. And there was no guideline for that. They didn't teach you that in library school, as we always said. You know, they didn't teach you how to deal with this kind of stuff. So
I think it was such an incredible period where, you know, during the COVID, a lot of the businesses were letting people go.
Yeah.
And you did find a way to keep all the staff in place and be able to work from home and come in when we had to.
Right.
And I remember specifically having to do video recording mm-hmm. to do all the programs.
Yes.
And we got through it.
We somehow did. We did. And, you know, thanks to you, you were willing to experiment and go along with us and coach us on the right way to do it, because video programs for children or adults, it was just wasn't a thing back then for libraries to do. And now, you know, some of those things have stayed. And we started using curbside service. So if people, when the library was closed, we would put the books in a bag and they would call us and we'd run out with our mask on and hold them at the door. And then we did, you know, at their car door yeah. and they would reach out and get the books. So we were, every library came up with innovative ways yes. to conduct service, but it was an uncertain time.
Yeah, but it's, that service is still yeah. around because
yes,
it was
we
so
still,
popular.
Some of the things were great because yeah. we might not have thought of that.
Yeah.
Now we've just kept it right there.
Well, I guess that answers my other question, was how did you create this welcoming space at the library? But I think you just said it, like we found everything that we needed to provide and we found a unique way to do it safely and still connect with the community, even, you know, unprecedented. Like again, you said, no one gets taught this in library school.
No. And it wasn't just one person coming up with an idea. This is definitely a team environment. And so people would come up with an idea. Oh, let's try this. Okay, let's try it. So we did an awful lot of that. Min Young was here and he knew that it's like, well, if it doesn't work, we'll try something else. So that's what we did.
And that was definitely challenging you.
It was a challenging time, yeah.
I think for everyone.
Now you look back on it and you think, did that really happen?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
because it was yeah. just, but it was so uncertain.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't know if we were doing the right thing or not. Do we let people back in? Do we put these footprints down where you stand here and you stand here 6 feet apart yeah. and all of that? And it's like, well, we're just going to follow the advice of the health department and CDC and all the guidelines that people told us, and we did pretty well.
I think we did. And we're still here thriving and,
yes.
and getting stronger.
Well, in that case, though, now I'm really curious because, again, you've seen so many different versions of the library and then the services have changed and the programming has changed. Is there a particular program or event that you helped create that you're especially proud of, and including anything? Like it could have been during the pandemic or first being here at the library or, you know, somewhere in the middle.
Well, there are several things that I was part of instigating initially. One was the sets of books that we take out to daycare centers and preschools, where we put a group of books together and check them out to the organization. We were one of the first groups to do those, and this was back in the 90s that I helped orchestrate that. I was one of the first people to say, you know, teenagers really need some books and some programs here. And so I did the first teen programs before we ever moved into this building, because we didn't do, once you reached age 12, it was like, okay, we're not, you know, just here's a book, go and read it. So we started to really develop a teen program, and it's so important for them not to be a group that's left out.
Wait, what did the first teen program look like? Now, I'm very
curious
now.
One of the first teen programs we had, well, I don't know if you remember, or maybe they still make them, it was the little cameras that mm-hmm. were in a box, a little packaged camera, yeah. you can take pictures.
Uh-huh.
So I had a photographer come in and do a program on how to take these. And then we gave all the teens the cameras, and they went out and took, I think, 20 pictures. We had them develop for them, and then they came back again, and the photographer scrutinized the pictures for them and said, you know, okay, here you needed to get closer, or here you need your background.
Oh,
wasn't.
Wow.
It was really cool, and they really enjoyed it because it was kind of hands-on, and it was a series of three programs that were done.
Yeah.
So that was one of the first ones I remember, because it was hard. We wanted something that was equally interesting for men and women, and so that was one, and that was at the old library.
Right. Oh, I would have been interested.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think we need to bring that program back.
Like, I think
it's relevant.
We can invest in film, in real again.
Do they have those little cameras?
Oh, yeah.
Like okay.
Those are very popular. I have a friend who uses them constantly. Like, it's, you know, eventually old tech comes back around.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Polarized
camera. The only problem is it's very expensive, but I think there might be, maybe we have budget. Like, I could see it. We can set some aside, because that would be super fun. I will join that. It would be weird. If I'm not a teen.
for adults as well.
Oh, perfect.
Then we can have a contest to display some of the best photographs.
And then there's
the
gallery.
We could win a prize.
Put them up
and have them in a gallery.
No,
see,
yeah, the
see
gallery.
We've created a gallery.
See, another one you can be proud of.
So that was a real... when I had worked in a library in Washington, D.C., I had been... part of their children's department in that particular library. And I had done programs for children who were younger than four. And so I was really anxious to try that here. And there was a bit of resistance because, you know, children under the age of four typically don't sit still.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, no, I'll do it. And we call it a lap sit program because the caregiver sits on the floor with the child and they can sit in their lap or not. So they allowed me to do it, and it was very successful. So that was one of the early things that we did. There have been quite a few things, but it's always a cooperative effort. It's not just one person coming up with a great idea. It's like, okay, let's try this, and then you help me with it, and we did it. So.
And I think what's really interesting to highlight is that, you know, you start with an idea, and we're still seeing the effects of that idea years later. We have a teen program. We have so many young adult books that teens can check out, which is fantastic variety for a community of this size. I mean, granted, there are a lot of people, but again, the kids program and how many story times we have for different ages and then different programs in general for any age, it's got the impact. And you were there to kind of like help guide
nurture it. Nurture it.
Yeah, nurture
it.
Well,
and more recently, and the one that comes to mind more recently that I think is a huge benefit to the community is our notary service. Because we didn't offer that at all. And so it's like, what if we had a few library staff who were bonded notaries and trained? And it's like, well, we could try it. So we started out with one or two, and now we have 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to have a notary on duty, ready to notarize documents for the public all 70 hours a week that we're open. So that's a huge service, and I hear that all the time. Thank you so much for offering this free service, because it's just not something that's readily available everywhere, and that's something we can do.
I think libraries in general are being very creative in coming up with services. I know those who can... I think they're starting to do passports. In the libraries, and I'm going,
I've mentioned
"Oh my
that
God,
a
yeah!"
Times.
I know. We as a library discussed that, and I'm sure maybe at some point,
several people threatened to quit.
That would
but
be part
of
it.
But it would be a helpful thing to continue to explore because it's one of those things that's hard to work into your schedule.
So we're gonna dive into what feels so real. 31 years. I keep saying that because it's just such a long time at a location to work. What would you want your patrons, how would you want them to remember you by?
Well, when they think of the library, I don't want them to just think about me. I think it's, as I've said before, this is very much a team atmosphere. Everyone who works here has general knowledge on a lot of different subjects, but then everybody has something that's their niche, you know, that's this person is really great with genealogy, and this person is really great with preschoolers, and this person is really great with technology, and we have all those things. So I'd like for people to remember that we really nurtured the whole staff and we allowed them to grow and explore in a lot of different ways. So that's not really answering your question, but I think that's the most important thing is to really allow people, our staff, to prosper in the areas that they feel like they want to pursue.
Like your legacy is the legacy of the people here.
Yes, who are still here. Yeah. And the good work they continue to do every day. They really do, you know, yeah. Because I don't get to work out on the floor at a public service desk nearly as much as I used to. And so, but I still hear the compliments when I go to a meeting or go to a Chamber of Commerce event or go to a city council meeting or wherever, I still hear the compliments about the people who have provided great service. And so they're saying, thank you so much for doing this. But it's like, I need to thank the staff for continuing to do great work because they're the ones that are driving the compliments. I really, truly mean that's... That's the most important part.
And we do have some really great people here.
We really do.
You and I have had this conversation already. But
oh, dear.
So you're going to have a lot of free time.
Tell us, what's the next step?
What is the next step for Patty Burnside?
That's really a good question. There are no next steps developed yet.
It's called sitting on and relaxing.
Some people have a bucket list of things in retirement they're going to do. My bucket is empty. There's a hole in my bucket. No, I'm sure I will develop things, but I'm not a person who has a lot of hobbies right now. I need to develop some. It will give me more free time to do some charitable activities that happen in the daytime, whether it's teaching Bible school or going to an event and you know, that happens on a weekday when you just haven't been free to do. So there's some things like that I know I will want to do. One thing that I thought I might do is I read aloud pretty well, and I credit that to my reading aloud to children for so many years, but I thought I might want to read to the blind because I think that's something that a lot of that work goes on in Washington, D.C. with the National Federation for the Blind. But in Kentucky, we read to the blind too because Kentucky magazines and Kentucky newspapers are read aloud and recorded. So I thought, well, I could do that maybe two or three times a week. And I haven't explored it yet, but that's something I thought I could do that.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that's – I have grandchildren, so I'll have more time to go to their horse shows and different events that they're involved in. My oldest granddaughter is going to go to college, so maybe I can go down to Western Kentucky University and visit her on occasion and so forth. So I don't have really big plans like some people do, but I'm going to figure it out. It'll be okay. That's my new motto.
You know what's going to happen, right? We're going to invite her back to do a program.
I was literally thinking, like, Patty, like, you don't, like, you need to develop hobbies. You know, there's this place called Scott County Public Library. It has some great programs that teach you hobbies.
Might take one of the watercolor classes.
Yeah. Like, I would love to see you there.
Yeah. I've talked about my stick figure drawing with Diana, so I don't think I'll figure it out. I think it'll be okay.
I'm certain that whatever it is that happens after this next step is over, you know that you will always be part of this family.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. It's going to be bittersweet.
Yeah.
And I promised myself I wouldn't cry during this interview, but it really will because it's hard to walk away. It really is. It's part of you.
Yeah. And I think that's the best thing that you can say when you walk away is that you can never really truly go away. And it's with you forever.
Yeah.
And
that's
the sweetest sentiment you can have from something you've held on to for so long.
Because, you know, to oversee through two constructions and watching this library from what it was to what it is now and continue to be what it's going to be, that has a lot of your legacy. Built into the progression of this public library, that Scott County Public Library. And I will say for certain that this little library has a mite of some of the larger libraries, I think, because there are things that we do here that a lot of libraries aren't doing. And that is a credit to you, because it comes with the leadership, and we get on board with that leadership to achieve those things. So I want to thank you.
Well, thank you. Those are very kind words, both of you. I appreciate both of you. And
we appreciate you, Patty.
Well, thank you. This has not been as difficult as I thought it might be. To you all,
so. See, you don't even notice.
Yeah. So we're going to let you have a last say-so of what comes to your mind. Is there a last thing that you would to share with everyone?
Fun thoughts?
Well, I think mostly it's an expression of gratitude. Because, as everybody knows, being a leader is not easy. You make tough decisions, and sometimes those decisions don't make everyone happy, but you have to know you're acting on the best advice that you get and on behalf of the organization. So I'm just very appreciative to all the support that I've gotten from staff, from former employees who came before me and paved the way for this great organization to exist. And then for all the other people, both patrons and other organizations who are out there and who have supported us through the years, it really takes a village to make a village. And so we've had tremendous support both from all the county and city officials and all the nonprofits in the area. We've just really, it's helped to make the library what it is. And I think I think the county deeply appreciates us.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys.
No, thank you so much, Patty. I don't know how to transition to answering community questions because I feel very I feel the heartfelt sincerity of this moment. And I just want to take another moment just to recognize that. Thank you so much for everything you've done for 31 years. And you're not going to be forgotten, and we're going to miss you.
Aww.
Also, we hope to see you, as a patron going forward, for sure.
I have a library card.
Again, watercolor.
Yeah, watercolor classes. And the Friends of the Library, I might help them out with their book sales and special fundraising events. So,
Thank you again so much,
Patty. Thank you so much. It's been fun, actually.
Thank you, Patty.
Thank you.
All right.
All right.
All right, until...
Yeah, no, Mingyang, take it away.
So we have a question, right,
that we
need to answer?
A couple of questions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So recently we made a post on our Facebook and Instagram page asking everyone in the community to send us their questions about the library, and we have chosen a couple to answer today. If you would like to have your question answered in the next podcast, be sure to keep an eye out for our next post requesting submissions. For today, we have a question from Jillian. Jillian, thank you so much for submitting one. Jillian has asked, how are kids chosen to be the kid librarian? That is an excellent question. Real quick, for those who don't know, we have a great program here at Scott County Public Library where kids can sign up to be the kid librarians, in which they'll be able to decorate their own book display filled with their favorite books. Each kid librarian's display will remain up for one whole week, so everyone in the community will have a chance to see it and maybe check out some of the recommended books. To become a kid librarian, all you need to do is fill out the application on our website or in person at the children's desk. It's first come, first serve. You heard that right. It's first come, first serve. So all applicants who sign up earlier than others automatically get chosen. It is not a selection process. It is just a, hey, you signed up. Of course, you get to be the kid librarian. Currently, we are not accepting any more applications, sadly, but that's because we have 19 fantastic kids who have already signed up for the summer. But you can always sign up for the next one. Just keep an eye out on our website and our social media accounts, including Facebook and Instagram, to find out when applications are back up. We tend to run this program every summer, so you can prepare for that one at the very least. For our next question, our staff requested it because they get asked this question a lot. What is the difference between holds and curbside pickup? So the first thing you should know is that for both holds and curbside pickup, you can request both on the My Libro app. On the other side, for holds in general, you can always request a hold on our website, and curbside pickup, you can also just call us and we'll get it together. But what is the difference other than where you can get this scheduled? So for holds, after you reserve a book, either again through the website or my Libro app. We go ahead and pull them every hour there's a request. So sometimes that can be a little bit different in terms of like if the book is checked out or not and how many copies of the book we have. But if we have it available here at the library, we go ahead and pull those books every hour and we get them assembled. And once we have everything checked in for your account, we will go ahead and notify you and then you'll be able to come in and pick them up. Sometimes it's same day, sometimes it's a day later, sometimes it's a week later. It just depends on, you know, who has the book, who has it checked out, and when they plan to return it to the library. But that's usually how it goes. We hold your books for 3 days, so if you don't come get your holds before that time, they will go back into circulation, so be sure to come and get them when you get that notification. So yeah, and again, you can probably get it same day, but don't expect it within like 10 minutes. That's a little too fast for us, especially if it's like not here, then we unfortunately just can't get you that book. Now, as for curbside pickup, it's a little bit different. It's the same idea where you're requesting books, but we are going to deliver it to you outside. So again, you can either request those on the My Libro app, or you can call us and we'll get those books together. We go and grab them, put them in a bag for you. And then depending on when you schedule to come pick up your books, all you have to do is park in the back parking lot of the library there. We recommend as close to the back door as possible so we can readily get that out to you as quick as possible. And then we also know who to look for. And once you are parked, go ahead and call the library and let us know that you're here. And all you have to do is just sit in your car and one of our great staff members will come out with your books and or other library materials and hand deliver it to you again while you're just sitting in your car. It's a great program that came about during the pandemic and it still lasted during this time. So especially for families with like a lot of kids in them who just want to stay inside the car or those have maybe trouble like getting up, getting down to go into the library and then get back into their car. But yeah, that's the biggest difference between holds and curbside pickup. Same idea, but you know, it's all about where you're getting the books at the end of the day. One's at circulation desk, the other is we're delivering it to your car. Both convenient, both very accessible for everybody. So that's it for our community questions. Thank you again to everyone who submitted one and let us know what your questions are for our next podcast. And again, one last time, Patty, thank you so much for joining us today for your first podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, join us next time as we talk about more of our great, great services here brought to you by some amazing people at Scott County Public Library.
See you guys later.
See ya. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Beyond the Bookshelves is a public library podcast produced by the Scott County Public Library in Georgetown, Kentucky. Your hosts are Marketing Manager Min Young Bowling and Media Coordinator Mackenzie Fay. Editing is done by the marketing team with special assistance from the Technology Department of Scott County Public Library. If you want to learn more about the Scott County Public Library, you can visit our website at www.scottpublib.org. Until next time, keep learning and keep growing.